You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, well, now we are easing into the main event of tonight's live broadcast. Welcome back to the show. I'm James Edwards this Saturday evening, August the 14th. And so we haven't talked a lot about COVID this summer. I guess it's been a while. Now, in the last couple of weeks, Keith Alexander and I have done a segment on it, I think, each week in the last 2 weeks, but we have increasingly been getting emails from you, our beloved listening audience, saying, hey, we need a deeper dive. We need to know what's going on. We want to hear your opinions on this, and we want to hear the opinions of some of your guests. So I got to thinking, okay, let's do the bulk of a show on this, and who would be the best two people I could draw from to help me give this a treatment? And so Tim Murdoch is a fantastic commentator on current events, and he is going to tackle this hour, the COVID hysteria, the vaccines, the mandates, the increasing draconian mandates about people nearly being forced to become vaccinated. From a socio-political perspective, that's the take Tim is going to have tonight. And then in the next hour, we're going to have Dr. Jean-Francois Guérepé to talk about this from a more medical point of view, medicinal point of view. So we will get into that. Do we have Tim now? Okay, Tim. Tim Murdoch. Hey, listen. Follow the White Rabbit. He's Horace the Avenger. He's one of our favorites, and just a crack commentator and analyst on just about anything you could throw at him. And we do cross appearances on each other's programs, and he just wrapped up a show. I apologize to Tim. You know, this is the no retreat, no surrender, no apology show. But I know how it is to do a show and then instantly do a guest spot. You don't want to do a guest spot when you wrap up a show. You don't want to do a back-to-back. But he's doing that for us tonight to help us tackle this. And this is something, Tim, you and I have been talking about, or rather texting each other about, and kind of saying, hey, what's your feel on this? What's my feel on this? I had to go down to the county health department a couple of days ago to get a birth certificate, a copy of a birth certificate for a friend of mine who had moved out of state. And, you know, earlier this summer, this whole thing was trending in the right direction. The restrictions were being lifted. The mask mandates were gone. Vaccines were coming around. You could get those if you wanted to, but it really wasn't this thing where, hey, you better get it or you're going to be like the equivalent of a Holocaust denier or something. Which is where it's gotten now, heavily politicized. And it was all going in the right direction. And then slowly over the last couple of weeks, it started to turn. And I went down to the health department. And so help me God, the workers down there were not only wearing masks, but they were wearing gloves. And some of them were even wearing those hard plastic shields that you would see a dentist wearing. And I went in there without a mask because the mask restrictions had been lifted. And, you know, they brought me a mask and a doggy bag. And so it's definitely going the wrong way. This guy with this dental shield and the mask and gloves brought me a mask. I was like, come on, man. I put it on, you know, because I had to do business there. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to have gotten what I drove an hour to get. But anyway, Tim, we all see what's going on. Everybody in the country, everybody in the world has an opinion on this. And over the course of the next three segments, I'm going to be sharing with you the opinions of Paul Craig Roberts, the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, the opinion of William S. Lind, another learned scholar. And we're going to get your reactions to those. But first, just to sort of set the table tonight, what are you seeing? What's your take on where this whole thing is going as we set this evening?
Well, let's back up a minute. Let's talk about what we know to be true, what we don't have to speculate on. Sometime over the past, in the more recent future, say 24 months, 12 months, whatever, you can go back in time. Something happened in China, and a virus, according to the people that run America, a virus escaped from a lab, got out of a lab, someone was infected and escaped and got loose. One of these viruses they were experimenting on. Then you have the huge Wuhan incident, and of course, they originally said it was from a market. Now that's all been reversed. The neocons, I'm thinking specifically of Ben Shapiro, has went out of his way to call China evil, insinuating many elites that they knew what they were doing. In other words, it got out of the lab and they let it run around the world in an attempt to try to destroy the U.S. economy is what they were insinuating. On the other end of the question, on the equation, we have the Chinese who are maintaining somewhat consistently, as far as I can tell, that the U.S. military brought it in there and tried to do that, tried to unleash in the Chinese, into China to destroy the Chinese economy. Now, what really we have two superpowers saying, well, a budding superpower and one superpower, is accusing each other of using low capacity, or I don't know what you would call it, biowarfare, to spread some type of infection in their societies to destroy their economies. They're both accusing each other of basically starting World War III. I'm sitting in Michigan. Michigan, of course, most people don't know, and Southern Nationalists should all know this, because 85% of all fresh water in North America comes from the Great Lakes, and one-fifth of all fresh water on the planet is in the Great Lakes. I'm sitting in Michigan, and the Northern Michigan Air Base can house and bring in any type of plane from anywhere in the world, and they are practicing taking off and landing on streets, local streets, and local highways in the north with A-10 Warthogs. And so I'm looking at it from a very broad perspective on this is obviously quite big. If it was just our nutters in charge, who I can't trust at all, if it was just the European nutters, I can't trust at all. But we've got something big happening on the planet that I don't think anyone has really a good handle on. Every government that I take seriously is not only has their key personnel vaccinated, albeit with radically different protocols than we're vaccinating. I mean, they're radically different vaccines, virtually radically different. The governments, they're not necessarily forcing vaccinations on the people. I'm thinking of Russia, but their key personnel is vaccinated. Their leaders are supposedly vaccinated to a certain extent, and they're developing more vaccines. And so I'm going to let you take a break, but we'll continue this.
And we will. It's like he hosts his own show or something. He knows what to do and take us in and out of breaks. He doesn't even need me. I should probably turn the rest of the hour over to Tim. He's that good, and we're thankful to have him tonight. Tim Murdoch, stay tuned. We're just getting started.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, I think you could probably already tell for yourself why, once again, Tim Murdoch was the guy we needed for tonight's conversation, or what he did in that first segment just the last few minutes. Great stuff. Follow Tim Murdoch, and you can do so at whiterabbitradio.biz, whiterabbitradio.biz. There you'll find Tim's link tree. If you don't know what a link tree is, just go to whiterabbitradio.biz, and there you can go to everywhere Tim is and follow his work and support his work. He's one of the best. Tim, you were on a roll. I want to quickly read something for you from Newsweek, and I'd like to get your response to this, and then you can go back to what you were saying in the previous segment. This was a shockingly well-reasoned and objective take on vaccines. I had a hard time believing, in fact, that something so sensible was published by a mainstream system organ like Newsweek. But the fact of the matter is, this is becoming a politicized topic. And this is what the opinion writer for Newsweek had to say. I'm not vaccinated against COVID-19. The decision wasn't a drastic one. I thought it a personal decision that everybody should make in consultation with a trusted health professional, which is what I did. It didn't occur to me that this decision merited justification to others. Now, we all know that age, weight, and other comorbidities play a role in COVID-19 that impacts the individual. And for someone at serious risk for COVID-19, these rare risks are probably worth it. But what about someone who is not at risk from COVID-19? The risk-benefit analysis for otherwise healthy young individuals may be a different calculus. This is from Newsweek again, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't James Edwards. Along with the mixed messages is the obvious role that politics has played in COVID-19 policy. There was Kamala Harris saying that she wouldn't trust a vaccine produced by President Trump, then doing an about-face. There was the way that Democratic politicians and even the CDC itself justified Black Lives Matter protests during the lockdown while criticizing Trump rallies as super spreader events. Most recently, former President Obama hosted a huge maskless party in the midst of renewed mask mandates and concern over the spread of infection. The inconsistent policies and public responses, the repeated do as I say, not as I do from those pushing restrictions and vaccinations had led many, like me, to skepticism of any government-issued guidance. And adding bribes, mandates, and censorship to the mix has only served to heighten that sense of mistrust. Perhaps most unnerving has been seeing experts who question and warn about adverse reactions to the vaccine being censored or blacklisted. And that is an important point, Tim. Not everybody, not every doctor is on board with the narrative, but those who do speak out and have a differing opinion are, in fact, censored and canceled. So why censor the adverse effects? Why not publicize them so we can make informed decisions? Those of us opting out of the vaccine are not doing so out of ignorance or selfishness, as it has been claimed. We have simply been paying attention to the mixed messages, the hypocrisy, the changing standards, and the censoring of counter evidence. And we have not been convinced that this is something we need to do for our own good or for that of our communities or country. Again, Tim, that was Newsweek magazine, an opinion writer for Newsweek. Your reaction to that?
Well, you're going to get more and more experts crossing the line. I'm looking at an article about Van den Bosch, and Van den Bosch, of course, has the PhD in virology from the University of Hohenheim, Germany. He's worked for vaccine companies like GSK Biologicals, Novartis, Solvay, and served in all kinds of vaccine R&D role. He even joined the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as senior program officer for Global Alliance for Vaccines. He's worked on all the Ebola stuff, on and on it goes. So he had a big blog post in the last 24 hours, and he said, stop the mass vaccinations immediately. And this is what he writes. As of the early days of the mass vaccination programs, at least a few experts have been warning against the catastrophic impact of such a program could have on global and individual health. Mass vaccination in the middle of a pandemic is prone to promoting selection and adaptation of immune escape variants that are featured by increasing infectiousness and resistance to spike protein-directed antibodies, on and on it goes, thereby diminishing protection in vaccines and threatening the unvaccinated. This already explains why the WHO's mass vaccination program is not only unable to generate herd immunity, but even leads to substantial erosion of populations' immune protective capacity, as the ongoing universal mass vaccination program will soon promote dominant propagation of highly infectious neutralization escape mutants, naturally acquired or vaccinal neutralizing ABS, will indeed no longer offer protection to immunized individuals, whereby highly infectious pressure will continue to suppress the innate immune defense system of the non-vaccinated. This is to say that every further increase in vaccine coverage rates will further contribute to forcing the virus into resistance to neutralizing. On and on it goes. Basically, it's creating a spiral that's going to get dangerous. I mean, if this guy is what he's saying, he urges immediate action, needs therefore to take order to dramatically reduce viral infection. Basically, stop. It needs to stop. And this is the guy that worked with Bill Melinda Gates. He's one of the heavy hitters. He's saying it's doing the direct opposite. It's going to get everyone sick. I don't know what these guys are doing. I don't know what they have planned.
And Tim,
I wouldn't.
No, I was just going to say ahead. Very quickly, my friend, you probably saw a big article that went viral about this doctor in Indiana who addressed a school board and offered a diversity of opinion with regards to the official narrative on COVID and the vaccines. And he has, in fact, been unpersoned as a doctor. And the regime media really doesn't like, the system doesn't like when doctors think for themselves and publicly offer a different opinion. And an example is being made of this man. And as a result, other independent-minded physicians are going to self-censor.
Well, that's true, and a lot more speaking out because this looks to be very dangerous. Now, I don't know what exactly happened in the beginning. I do know that the Wuhan Bat Lady is talking, that there's going to be a lot more to come. So, you know, we've got a tit for tat among the globalist sets in China and the globalist set in America. And we've got we've got some type of virus on the loose that has all these mutant strains, and we've got a vaccination program that's making a ton of money. And it's all very, very bad stuff, and trying to figure out exactly how it's going to end up. You've got people that are going to probably be either they're going to have to move states or going to be forced to put stuff in their body they're not comfortable with or lose their jobs. It's all bad news. It's all bad news. And the vaccinations we have are very different than the ones that the guys I watch around the world take. I mean, even Viktor Orban, the famous leader of Hungary, he took Sinopharm from China, which is an interesting vaccine in itself, because 6 months later, you can't really tell the person took anything. So we don't know. maybe they're taking the globalist sugar pill around the world, and we're taking
the placebo.
Well, no,
this is the thing. This is the thing, and this should be said. I don't like people who pretend to know everything. I will freely admit that I don't know, in fact, exactly what they're pulling here. But what I do feel pretty confident in saying is that the regime is not doing this because they love the people so much. I saw we saw what happened in New York, of course, with the vaccine mandates. Well, that's now down in New Orleans. New Orleans on Monday, if you do not have proof of a vaccine or proof of a negative test within the last 72 hours, you cannot go anywhere. You cannot go to a gym. You cannot go to a restaurant. You cannot go to a multitude of places that accommodate the public. All that I know, and watching the system and watching this government, never, I can't think of anything they've done in my lifetime that has been for the good of our people. It's just hard for me to believe that this is the first time that they're actually doing something that they feel will help us. I don't believe that.
Well, I think there's a lot of them acting out of fear, and there's probably 24 different agendas. The challenge that I have about the future is, I know darn well. I don't want to curse on your show. It's a family show. That Vladimir Putin isn't going to be injecting something into his troops that's going to kill them all. When I look at the Chinese nationalists, I don't know how to figure them out, but I have a trick. I look at the Thai nationalists. Thailand, in spite of its reputation in a couple cities built by American Navy, is very conservatively run. It's a conservative Buddhist country. And they're not going to be injecting poisons into themselves. Now, granted, they're not using our vaccine. So, what does that tell you? I don't really know.
Well, we don't know everything, but we do know that we're skeptical about the official narrative, and other people's are as well. We're going to hear from Paul Craig Roberts and William S. Lind, at least what they've written in the last few days. We're going to get Tim Murdoch's reaction to that. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden has approved sending additional military forces to Kabul to help safely remove U.S. personnel from Afghanistan. In a statement Saturday, the president announced he was sending an additional 1,000 troops to the area, joining the 4,000 already announced. Biden also defended his decision to pull all troops out of the country, saying that the Afghan forces had to fight against a wave of Taliban fighters currently sweeping through the country. And officials in Haiti say that hundreds are dead following a strong earthquake that struck the island on Saturday. The 7.2 magnitude quake was centered about 75 miles west of the capital of Port-au-Prince. Officials say that at least 227 people have died, with Prime Minister Ariel Henry saying he was working to rush aid to areas devastated by the quake, as some towns had almost completely been razed. He also declared a month-long state of emergency for the entire country. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently? Remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free. With an annual subscription, it's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
The Centers for Disease Control have approved a third dose of COVID vaccine for immunocompromised Americans. The decision Friday coming a day after the FDA approved the booster shots of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky saying in a statement that a third dose could help some people with weakened immune systems prevent serious and possibly life-threatening COVID-19 cases. Dr. Frieda Fischer says that a booster shot is likely an inevitability for everyone. The nephrologist and pediatric specialist tells Fox News that new data shows that the effectiveness of the shots may decline over time.
Getting a third shot, I do believe, ultimately will be inevitable. Even in healthy people, we believe that eventually, the immune system response to the initial vaccination doses will wane. We do have some studies, some Israeli data, also some Mayo Clinic data, which shows us that with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccinations, over time, the effectiveness as far as preventing you from testing positive for COVID-19 is decreasing, and it's decreasing in the Pfizer more so than Moderna.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, as you heard in our bottom of the hour news break, everybody's talking about this, so why aren't we talking about it? Well, we are talking about it at your request, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of emails have come in recent weeks. Do a show on this. Do it. Talk more about this. We did have the gentleman, our good friend up in British Columbia, who said, hey, I love that you don't talk about COVID all the time. Everybody's talking about it. I love being able to tune in and hear what else is going on with our people. But yes, one show I think we can do, and how about Tim Murdoch, ladies and gentlemen? When we get together, it's like nitro and glycerin. And I want to thank Tim again for coming on with us right after. I mean, he just got off the air and instantly jumped over to join us, and I appreciate that. WhiteRabbitRadio.biz, that's the best place to follow you, Tim, there and at EuroRabbit on Twitter.
That's the easiest way to get all my links. You'll see when we're coming live. We were just live for 2 hours with Mark Collette from the United Kingdom,
great
which
guy.
Was lively and spirited. Yeah. And you'll be coming on in a couple weeks, too. We're going to nail you down on a Saturday evening and get you on.
Yeah, actually, it's a reciprocal. It's a reciprocity here. In a couple of weeks, I believe it's September the 4th, I'll be on with Tim and then immediately coming on to TPC right after that. So this is a barter deal. No, it's always great to work with Tim. But anyway, Tim, so getting back to the topic at hand, a lot of vitriolic articles being written to denigrate those who have not been vaccinated yet. And in my state of Tennessee, by the way, the unvaccinated are the majority. Only 40% of those eligible to be vaccinated have been vaccinated. So it's not just a handful of people. I read an article here. The headline is the headline screams, white male rural conservatives won't get vaccinated to avoid placating the left. Well, that's one way to look at it. I think it's actually just that white males in rural areas have the most common sense. For instance, we know that there aren't an infinite number of genders. The same people who tell you there are an infinite number of genders are telling you that you should get this vaccine. So, yes, politics does play a role in all of this, but I don't think most people are not getting the vaccine just to own the libs. I think it's a decision they're making based upon what they think is best for their own health. Now, Paul Craig Roberts, this is the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during the Reagan years, or at least during some of the Reagan years. PCR has become increasingly based. He's been a guest on this show a few times. This guy makes me blush when I read what he writes on certain issues, but he has written on COVID, and this is what he writes. And we'll get Tim's response as we've been doing this hour. Paul Craig Roberts writes, vaccine indoctrinated medical personnel and politicians are calling for the return of mask wearing, whether you're vaccinated or not. NBC News, like the rest of the prestitutes, is ramping up the fear. Susan Hossig at Tulane University's School of Public Health says, quote, I think it's critical for masking indoors no matter where you live, end quote. The Democratic governor of Louisiana announced an indoor mask mandate through at least September 1st for anyone 5 years of age and older who enter places like schools, businesses, churches, no matter their vaccination status. Fear, fear, Paul Craig Roberts writes. The hospitals are said to be full of vaccinated Delta variant patients, and we are urged to get vaccinated in order to be safe. More fear, as the super transmissible Delta variant marches across the U.S., the more mutant versions are developing. In addition to Delta, we now have Delta Plus and Lambda. More will be announced, more vaccines, more boosters. As vaccine deaths and injuries mount, more invented variants will be blamed. This is Paul Craig Roberts writing. I'm reading it. With this game plan in operation, you can see why the price of vaccine stocks have shot up. He closes with this. As we are learning, there are more agendas associated with COVID than profit. The institutionalization of tyranny is another associated agenda. Tim, you mentioned a minute ago there are dozens of agendas in play here. There's not one silver bullet here that's going to give us an answer. The CDC has come up with a plan to shield high-risk people by moving them into green zone camps where they would have minimal contact with family members. Who is designated high risk? The front people for the internment camp plan are the elderly with comorbidities, but the vaccination propaganda defines high-risk individuals as the unvaccinated. The camps will be for the unvaccinated. You'll be able to stay out of the camps by getting vaccinated. No, this is not a conspiracy theory. Here is the CDC document, and he links to it, Paul Craig Roberts does, on the CDC's own website. Tim, your response.
This is the challenge, and they were walking back those particular quotes as they cruised around on the internet all week, by the way. In any type of pandemic, here's the thing, all these disasters, and I don't want to be on their side, but, you know, on one end, we have something going on globally. And I'm trying to figure out why all these people I take serious on the world stage are vaccinating themselves and their troops, or that's what we're told, obviously with different vaccine protocols. On the other end, we have the powers that be in this country activating all their disaster plans. And they got some pretty elaborate disaster plans they put together during our lifetimes, James. And that's what they're talking about. And nothing would surprise me. Look what they're doing in Australia. Look what they're doing in Canada. This is, I almost feel like, from a biblical, I hate to inject the Bible into this, but I almost feel like we have a group of elites looking at the book of Revelation and going, you know, well, this is how we're going to play it out. And this is our beast system. You know what I mean? how we see, you know, the end times play. How we see the end times playing out is not how they see it. They're like, well, this is our mark of the beast. You know, and that this is what this is, you know, I mean, if you're in Australia, you know, you can't do anything. The challenge is in America, unless we have a good reason, you see, this is the thing. We have one vaccine. I don't like it as much, but it's very similar to the Russian first shot. There's a lot of data on it. It would scare me if I were a young woman, but it doesn't necessarily terrify me. All right. That's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I don't like it. I don't see a reason to take it. But it doesn't scare me. I don't like the mRNAs for a lot of different reasons. I think they're too new. I don't think we have enough material on them. I don't care how many people have taken them. Give me 5 years, you know. But the Johnson & Johnson shot is a single shot. It's very similar to the Sputnik first shot. And it is an adenovirus variant. There's things I don't like about it. It comes from a fetal cell line. And I won't go into that, but we have a lot of medicines coming from fetal cell lines, which means, well, actually, it means in the late 70s, in Northern European, they took fetal cell lines and started taking them from aborted babies. And that's where the fetal cell lines come from. There's a lot of medicines that are derived from these, good, bad, and ugly, a little Nordic baby. And it's, you know, and not, there's a lot of bad things about it, but if I analyze it like, okay, I don't see anything drastically that terrifies me about this. Yeah, there's blood clot problems that they can fix, but they won't fix it because then it's going to take longer to get FDA approval. They're bringing out medicines to fix that, or maybe they will. I mean, I would feel a lot better if we had 2 years of testing and they fixed the problems with it. But anyways, when I'm looking objectively at this, I'm like, it's like the Russian first shot. The Russians don't seem to be afraid of this, and they're serious people. You know, Putin's not going to go out of his way to kill himself and kill his soldiers, although there's a lot of guys in Russia that are pretty isolated that don't need it or won't have it. But anyways, and he's not pushing the shot. It's totally voluntary, these shots. But if I look at it and I say, okay, this one, you know, if it doesn't scare me, you know, I'm often not sought out for advice. You know, a guy just contacted me. He's got to donate something to do with a critical. I don't want to go into too many details. We got to donate an organ. He's like, look, I'm going to have to get a shot. They're making me get a shot, or I can't go to the hospital to donate an organ for a family member. And this is a terrible thing, right? So he's like, you know, I wouldn't get a shot ordinarily, but I can't really move. I can't get out of it because there's a family member, and I'm not going to let him die. So which shot would you get? And I'm like, well, this one doesn't scare me. I don't see any reason to get it, though. because you're getting into a thing of what is getting these shots going to do? It's just going to further encourage them. They're not going to let me off with just getting one shot. You know, this is the thing. And there's a lot of the country that is going to come to that conclusion, unless, you know, it goes into some scenario and we get some wicked strain that scares the living daylights out of everybody, which, you know, everyone's saying that, well, it's just about the shots. It's just about the shots. Everything else is going to be fake and gay is what the kids call it. Well, I have a feeling we're going to get a strain that won't be, and then it's going to freak everyone out. And that strain may very well be caused by the mutations from all the vaccinated people. And there's a lot of different controversies and scientists weighing in on that. So I'm trying to weed myself into this and try to figure out what to do, where they're going with it. One thing is clear. They're moving very, very quickly. They're preparing for some type of conflict very, very quickly. I can only hope that they get onto some next big distraction, but I don't think they're going to leave this alone because, like I said, it looks like they're trying to implement a beast system. If you don't have this, you don't get to do anything.
No, that's definitely where it's going. I mean, we see that in New York and even in New Orleans now and other places as well. Tim, I think you're giving this a very objective treatment. And by the way, let me say, I don't hate anybody or would withhold anybody from going to get a vaccine if they think that's what's in their best personal health interest. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. But if it's not, you shouldn't be forced to get one if that's the decision you make. We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song and will you listen
to it? Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation, and he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Back to
get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You picked the topic, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. I don't think we could have filled it any better than the two gentlemen that we have helping us do the heavy lifting tonight. That's Tim Murdoch, and following Tim in the third and final hour tonight, Jean-Francois Garapé. And he's going to be looking at this from a more medical perspective. Although I tell you what, I mean, for a layman, Tim Murdoch is certainly doing the job tonight. Although his role this evening was supposed to be tackling it, and it certainly he has from a socio-political point of view. But Tim Murdoch knows his stuff, as you can tell. At Euro Rabbit on Twitter, and WhiteRabbitRadio.biz on the internet. Now, with regard to vaccines, my position is this. It should be your choice. If you feel as though if you are older and if you are overweight and if you have comorbidities and you probably don't have a super long time to live, even in the best of circumstances, and if you get COVID, you're probably going to die. Listen, if you choose, if it's your choice to get a vaccine, I'm not going to stop you from doing that. If you are like me, 41 years old, height, weight proportionate, and relatively good health, and you see it otherwise, that's a personal decision you should also be able to make. So that's my position on vaccines. I am not an extremist one way or another on that. I think, though, Tim, and you've mentioned this, what a lot of people are doing and a lot of the recommendations, it's what happens so often on any issue. Everybody's doing what everybody else does without any critical thinking, without any independent-minded thinking. Everybody's just doing what they see everybody else doing. Now, talking about objectively speaking, and I said this in the last segment, you were really addressing all of this, as I knew you would, from an objective point of view. So too has William S. Lind, who is someone who we cite quite often on this program, and this is what he wrote about this topic, and one last time we'll read it, and we'll get Tim to respond and take us into the next hour. This is William S. Lind. He writes, "In most segments of the American right, I find a sense that a reckoning is coming. The enemy is cultural Marxism, the ideology that is driving hard to put an end to Americans' freedom of thought and expression. Anyone accused of racism, sexism, and homophobia is going to become an unperson, fired from their job, unemployable in their profession, thrown out of their school, unpublished, unmentionable. Their number includes everyone who voted for Donald Trump. Anyone who doesn't prostrate himself before cultural Marxism's victim groups, anybody who doesn't hate Western culture, Christianity, the white race, males, and heterosexuals. Last time I counted, that's quite a number of people, and they know how to shoot." William S. Lind continues, "The cause of our coming conflict will be cultural Marxism, but as in many wars, the trigger may be something else. I've expected a financial collapse to be the trigger, a financial collapse proceeding from the Fed's mad money creation. That may still be the case, but something new is showing on the political horizon, something likely to make many people on the right wonder if they have enough ammunition, a national mandate that everyone get a COVID-19 vaccine shot." Now, listen to me here, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm talking about objectively speaking. This is William S. Lind, and he writes this, "I am not an anti-vaxxer. I got my vaccine, Moderna, as soon as I could," he writes. "But the vaccine is not what's at stake here. What's at stake is whether the elites who are trying to force cultural Marxism down our throats will succeed in doing so with the COVID vaccine." This goes back to making this a political issue, because if they can do it with one, they can do it with the other. And it's the exact same people pushing both, he writes. That's the issue. And that's what the elites don't get, but ordinary Americans do. A state which has already brought its legitimacy into question by attempting to force an alien and destructive ideology on its citizens has little ground left to give before it finds itself standing on thin ice. Millions of Americans who have already been told that they are unpersons will not only resent the people and institutions behind a vaccine mandate, they will resist them. Americans have the right to reject the vaccine, just as they have the right to believe and say and write that the races are different, that the two sexes are different, Sex outside of marriage is different. Christianity is the true religion. They have the right to say and do these things without being canceled, fired, arrested for hate speech, or blackballed in their chosen field by a left-wing McCarthyism that makes the original version seem like small potatoes. Heartland Americans believe these rights are worth fighting for, and so a mandated vaccine for a not terribly dangerous disease may trigger a vast revolt, the revolt against cultural Marxism and all those institutions and people who seem to make it the replacement for liberty. Now, Tim, this is a guy who's gotten the vaccine, but he sees this as a political issue, as it has become, and those are the conclusions that he has drawn. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's your body, it's your choice, and ultimately, you know, I have listeners that are very big in it. I don't take flu shots, and I don't take medicines, but I'm not averse to it. You know what I mean? If I need something, I'm not gonna die because I need to be all natural or something like that. You know. But it ultimately, you got to draw the line somewhere with these people. And this isn't going to end if we don't draw the line. Whether you take it or not, you got to draw the line somewhere. And I mean, obviously, if you're against taking it, you shouldn't put anything in your body you're against. But I'm saying we got to draw the line because pretty soon they'll try to vaccinate us against racism or something else. And don't put it past these people. You know,
which, by the way, but Tim. By the way, that's exactly, you know, the CDC itself called racism a so-called public health crisis, by the way.
Exactly. So you've got to draw a line somewhere. And I just, the numbers in America of unvaccinated is a massive number. In Canada, you know, you're at 80% vaccination already. In America, you're not going to be anywhere near those numbers. There's going to be serious pushbacks. We're going to see Republican governors cave in and start messing with their people, and we'll see a variety of different things.
Wait, and you've
things,
seen that already, by opinion. The way, my friend, you've seen that already in Alabama with Kay Ivey, who was
absolutely
among the least vaccinated states, and she's already said, you know, blaming them for all the troubles in the world.
Yeah, and that's how it's going to go. And it's just going to be a day-by-day thing. I'm curious to see what the next strain is going to happen. And I am interested in when any of the big powers on the planet, what they do in regards to boosters and when they call it. Because I was really surprised that there's so much cooperation on a global level with bringing out their own vaccines and stuff like that. It's like, well, you're going to vaccinate your people with whatever you want, but we're vaccinating with our people with this over here. You know, and whatever's in that, we don't know. We can argue about that another time, or, you know, different parties have their own opinions of what's in the Russians and the Chinese vaccines. But, you know, in our country, it's mRNA vaccines or bust. And these are the Modernas or the Pfizers, and some people swear by them. I just think it's too new, and I don't trust the people in power. Whatever they're doing, I'm going to generally watch before I jump in. You know, if they say to walk over that bridge there, I'm going to say, you first, I'm watching. you know,
which
I don't
is,
trust
again,
these
a common
people.
You can't trust them. They said everybody, listen, and you know you can't trust them because this is the same medical and scientific communities that said, as was written by one of the people I was reading from earlier, that COVID can spread at a Donald Trump rally, but it can't spread at a Black Lives Matter riot. I mean, they basically have said that in so right. many words.
These are the people that tell us every day that little boys can become little girls and vice versa. So no, you can't really trust a word they're saying. And so I'm trying to figure out what's going on globally because there are very serious people taking vaccines. At the same time, I'm worried about what's coming, you know, and what they're going to do and how fast, because at the current rate isn't going to get them anywhere they want to be in America. So what's coming our way? You know, we've got two superpowers accusing each other of unleashing absolute some type of something grown in a lab. It isn't natural at all. It's grown in a lab, and we don't know what else they're cooking up. It's not a very good situation, and a lot of people are trying to figure out what to do, and I empathize with them.
All right, so Tim, listen, my friend, whiterabbitradio.biz, I don't think, and I said this once earlier, I don't think for this particular show, for this particular topic, I could have, you know, we went through the people we know, the people that we could get, and this is it. This is the show. Tim Murdoch and Jerry.
Yeah, I wish I could give you guys a magic. I wish I could give everyone a magic bullet, but I'm taking it day by day, and I update this. Yeah. I do live shows all the time, and I cover this topic. I'm just being blatantly honest and laying the facts out.
No, I think that's the only way you can do it because, again, we admit we don't know everything. We don't know exactly what they're trying to pull. I mean, obviously, we're skeptical that they're doing this all in our best interest because that's never been the case in anything they've ever done. So you're right to be skeptical of what they're saying here because they've lied about everything else. So, yes, we don't know it all. We're taking it day by day. This is a frank and candid discussion. And I think everybody should make their own decision about this. Certainly don't do it just because the man is telling you to. Because they have never been out for your best interest, especially as they put it, white rural conservative males. You might advise would be to do the exact opposite of whatever it is, whatever topic they're recommending. They are not out to serve you. I can tell you.
Well,
about a minute remaining. Go.
If these viruses wipe out everyone, the Congress and Senate will be done for. I mean, there you go. So I can't imagine them intentionally killing themselves, but it wouldn't be the first time people have jumped overboard with medical technology and done themselves in. I mean, this type of thing does happen. I think there's going to be more and more experts, you know, demanding various different things going forward, and we're just going to have to take it day by day. I do sympathize with someone that has to take a vaccine just to eat or whatever. They're not in a position where they can move out in the country and wait it out. But I'm just waiting and watching, seeing what's going on.
Hey, we'll see. That's all any of us can do, and that's where I'm at. I agree with you, and like you said, if it goes wrong, they're doing it to themselves, so we'll see. Let's wait and see how it goes with them, and then we'll make a decision what's best for ourselves.
I mean, the upside is you're going to have vaccines within a mile of your house in America, wherever you're at. So I guess that's an upside.